Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
And we're back in the studio for another exciting edition of the Blazing Grace Show. This is Jason Graves, along with my good buddy, Taff Winnick.
Good morning.
Good morning, my good man. How are you?
I am excellent. I am caffeined and ready.
You look ready. You look excellent. And it's exciting that we're kind of wading into new deep waters here. Today, folks, we have got our first guest on the Blazing Grace Show in quite a while. Welcome to the show, Deborah Dunn. Hello, Deborah.
Hi. It's great to be here.
How are things in North Carolina?
Bright, sunny, slightly warm, and a spring day in February.
Wow.
Go figure.
Sounds like a little slice of heaven.
A little bit.
Well, welcome to the show. Let me give you, folks, a quick introduction to Deborah, and then we're going to talk a lot about her book, Stupid About Men, 10 Rules for Getting Romance Right. Now, that's not to be confused with one of Gloria Steinem's books, Stupid Men. Stupid About Men is a little bit different there. It's very insightful. We're excited to have Deborah as part of the show. Deborah is a native of Tarboro, North Carolina, and has spent years working as a family specialist with abused and neglected children, holding a master's in science degree in family therapy, and is a licensed marriage and family therapist. Particularly interested, Deborah, in helping women who've been wounded by childhood sexual abuse, trauma, promiscuity, abortion, and marital infidelity, and helping couples stop the toxic communication and power struggles that are very common in unhappy marriages. So what got you interested in these things in the first place?
Wow, it's a good question. Well, number one, I will be married 40 years in July.
Wow.
And so my own marital struggles, being married to my polar opposite, going through a younger womanhood of being confused about a lot of the messages that I was getting from the world about, you know, my appearance, my weight, my mm-hmm. value as a woman, perfectionism, money, all those issues, which I wrote about in my first book, which was published by David Z. Cook,
right.
Trapped in the Magic Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That book sort of morphed into Stupid About Men when I signed the contract with Howard Brooks, Simon & Schuster,
mm-hmm.
To take it a step further and get it out there in a light, more lighthearted way.
Right.
What got me interested in the subject, really, beside my own life experience, and was working in social work for years and seeing women obviously wounded by their own divorced, you know, abusive childhoods, from abortions, from rapes, from sexual abuse, particularly sexual abuse. It was just staggering, the numbers
mm-hmm.
of women who've been sexually abused by their fathers, brothers, cousins, neighbors,
right.
And dealing with the consequences of seeing that in their lives, how that played out in their marriages, in the men they choose, was a huge factor in chronic problems with choosing bad boys, men
mm-hmm.
who would abuse them the same way as they experienced in childhood, or if not physically, at least emotionally.
Right.
So it just snowballed through the years.
So you're seeing
that. It culminated
that,
in this book.
Right. And the way that we kind of are married on this issue is that, you know, Taff and I work with folks who are dealing with sexual addictions.
Yes.
And at the same time, you're seeing a dramatic increase in the rise of women who are addicted to romance. Now help us understand what you mean by addicted to romance.
Well, first of all, we have to understand what the word romance means. It comes from the Latin meaning in the Roman way. And Roman was a euphemism back in the Middle Ages for anybody that was over the top.
Huh.
Dramatic, larger than life, putting on the play,
okay,
so to speak, because the Romans were very theatrical as a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that word romance is derived from that, and then it became very tied in with the sexual, since that's a huge part of people's lives. And so romance became, you know, the romantic view of life is a worldview. Somehow we expect life to be dramatic, wonderful, thrilling, that sort of thing. Well, add that to the cultural messages that the last generation of women, the last 50 years, we're the first generation in history of women to be bombarded from the cradle to the grave with messages about our value as women. And
right.
Since sex sells, we're sold this message that our value lies in our ability to arouse a man,
right,
whether we want that man or not.
Well, now, okay, so you're breaking some rules here, all right? So if I'm out there, I'm going, wow, this lady is really willing to say this? I mean, you must get a lot of guff for some of your positions. I bet you the feminists don't really like you.
I haven't heard from the feminists on this.
That may be because they don't like
the
you.
The feminists I would guess that they're getting frustrated, too.
Yeah, right.
Because the whole point of the sexual revolution was to free women, and what it's actually done is enslave them.
Amen.
They've traded one set of chains for another.
Right.
So this is Taff. I can imagine people listening right now thinking, well, so what about romance? I mean, some people see themselves as romantics. That is their worldview. And you know, do we throw the baby out with the bathwater? Is it are you describing that as something that's wrong with the culture in the way that we think about love or relationship? Or what would you say to those folks who are thinking, wait a minute, I'd kind of like to be romantic in my worldview?
And that's not a problem. It's like anything. It's fine to be a cook. It's not fine to be an unhealthy weight. It's mm-hmm. not fine to have an eating disorder.
Right.
Anything is good in perspective. God gives us all good things for our edification, for our enjoyment, for our pleasure. Sex is one of those. Romance is a biological, the feeling of romance, of being romantic, is actually a biological thing that happens in the brain. It's a chemical thing. God created that, so certainly he meant it to have a place in our life.
Right, right. I like how you put it in Trapped in the Magic Mirror, your previous book. You put, ironically, women, and we're not picking on women here today, but
I'm
very grateful because you're a culture warrior that's willing to stand up and say, I'm a woman, and I've got this figured out, and I want to help this struggle in our culture, because you, like you said, women are trapped in this idea that romance is about being in love with the man, when in actuality it is being in love with how he makes her feel about herself.
Exactly.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Right. Well, you nailed it, because I'm just reading I'm reading your words here. So help us delineate that, break that down. So which one is the okay one? Being in love with the man, or being in love with how he makes her feel about herself?
Well, that part is something that's going to happen in the initial stages. The part being feeling good about yourself
mm-hmm.
is part of the biochemical change that happens when we first meet a man and fall in love. We
yeah.
call that the infatuation stage.
Yeah, it's what helps bond.
Infatuation stage is when all of a sudden all the dopamine receptors in our brain just go wild. And
right.
we just pump out all these feel-good endorphins and serotonin, and it's a whole cocktail. But the
right.
end result is it makes us just daffy.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's that effervescent walking on air feeling when you first fall in love. that stage of it lasts about 6 months.
Okay.
And that is when it's most likely to get out of hand and get sexual, be very intense.
Yeah, you're very vulnerable in that early.
Very vulnerable, right. Because mm-hmm. once that kicks off, because the whole process, and if people could just understand this, the whole reason that chemistry is in place is to get you to have sex.
Right.
Mother Nature wants her children to have babies.
Hallelujah.
That's right. And so Amen. In order to have babies, we're most likely to be fertile because the female hormone system is designed to function at its optimum if those chemicals are present.
Okay. So
it's like grease for making it, you know, for getting us pregnant.
Okay, great. So if I'm listening, I might be thinking, well, isn't there kind of a double message there? Because as a woman, if I were a woman, I might be thinking right now, all right, she's telling me that I got to be careful about my feelings of romance, but yet at the end of the day, I'm supposed to be having sex. So how do you make sense of that, you know, that potential double message there?
Well, supposed wanting to have sex and supposed to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
I think that part of the problem is that our culture has changed so drastically. That's a very deep subject. Historically, young people, if you look at the biblical stories, young people got married. They had sex at an early age when they were the most fertile and the most masculine
mm-hmm.
and the most driven. I mean, that was part of the cultural norm. Now we have such a delayed adolescence. People don't get married until they're, you know, 30s, and they live 2 or 3 times longer than people
right.
in the Bible did.
Right.
So we're having to look at how do we manage our sexuality? How do we protect ourselves? How do we stay pure and stay, you know, that with a until we do marry, but sometimes have to manage that until our mid-20s or early 30s,
right?
As we get our education, that's a conundrum, and I'm still trying to figure out, you know, and still talking to God about, okay, what am I supposed to tell people this, because it is a struggle, because our bodies are not designed to work with our man-made cultural schedules these days.
Right, right. There's some cultural differences these days that really sort of put us as a culture and the way things have been going at odds with the Bible and what it teaches and even the examples that we see in the Bible, okay? The culture is very different.
Actually, I wouldn't say just at odds. I would say diametrically opposed.
Right,
it's
right.
Like it's two totally different directions, and we'd have to, in order to line back up biblically, we'd have to really, and I talk about this
uh-huh.
a lot, how we've tried to fit Eastern concepts into Western culture,
mm-hmm.
cultural norms, because what we're finding out now that actually marriages in India, China, in the Eastern countries are actually happier and more successful than Western cultural marriages, simply because they're arranged by the families, they're highly supported. They have a great success rate.
Yeah, it's like they use romance to their advantage. They don't put themselves as in a position to be subject to
exactly.
romance and controlled by romance. Okay,
exactly.
So, well, listen, you know, if you're just tuning in, this is Jason Graves and Taff Winnick with the Blazing Grace Show, and we're interviewing our guest today, Deborah Dunn. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. And in fact, you can find more about Deborah at her website. It's deborahdunn.com. Deborah. That's just like the, wasn't there a job?
Deborah.
Yeah, there was
yeah.
a judge named Deborah, right? DeborahDunn.com. You can call her. Her number's on the website, or you can email her as well. And we're talking about her book today, Stupid About Men, 10 Rules for getting romance right. Now, why, if I'm a male listener in the audience today, why would I want to read this book?
Well, I'm not certain that the men would want to read this book, but this is the thing, because I'm not trying to sell my book to the men. I'm trying to sell it to their wives. They, and if they can share this concept, if wives are listening, this is what I want to say, is that one of the reasons that women who are, and I call them SAM women, have chronic disappointment with their male relationships is that they don't understand how the romantic worldview that they have and how this is actually driving men into sexual addiction.
Right.
My buzzword in the book is men are addicted to sex and women are addicted to romance, and they're using each other to get their fix.
Okay, so wow. Women driving men into sexual addiction. Okay.
Now, that's just one of the things. It's, women are not responsible for men's sexual addiction.
Okay, so
men
clarify
that.
Men
are responsible for their own addiction.
Right, okay, so say
so
more.
It's
when,
a dynamic.
Yeah.
It's a system that's happening between, particularly in married couples, that is exasperating the problem.
Right. It's exacerbating it. It's trying. It's making it worse. But how does that happen? Because if I'm a woman listening right now, I'm going, wait a minute. I thought she just said that I was driving my husband to act out. Talk about the difference between driving a man to act out or being part of the cause and being responsible for his acting out.
Well, let me back up and say I would probably soften the word driving.
Okay.
Because I think oftentimes the men are just as responsible for driving the women.
Okay, so taxing
into
is
their
it would be taxing that a little bit and just sort of.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's very difficult to say who's at fault or where it starts.
Okay.
It can start in childhood with abandonment by a parent, sexual abuse for either male or female.
Well, Taff, what do you think? Because I want the men to read her book, okay?
Okay.
Because okay. Here's the deal.
It's kind of funny because it's 10 Rules for Getting Romance Right.
Right.
And I have used a fairy tale character for each rule.
Okay.
To illustrate why each fairy tale character was stupid about men.
Right.
For example, Wendy adopts lost boys.
Okay. Okay.
And Little Red Riding Hood hangs out in the forest and talks to wolves, and she should never have been there with a basket of goodies to begin with.
Yeah, good analogy. All right, well, listen,
yeah.
I want to get Taff's perspective a little bit here, because Taff, I want these men to read the book. I think that there's a great deal of understanding for men that could be had about their wives and about their fiancés and about the women that they're dating.
Yeah, I was thinking about a lot of the young men and young women that I see and that I experience just either in friendship or in therapy are reading books like Wild at Heart by John Eldridge or books like Captivating by John and Stacey Eldridge.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of romantic notion in both of those. In both of those works, you know, this captivating so many young women, teenage girls and girls in college age, early 20s, are reading this and are bringing a romantic sense to, you know, they're waiting to see something from men. And I think John and Stacey have really put them onto something good. But at the same time, I think there's this problematic theme for girls, and Deborah, you can tell me if you agree with this, that they're waiting for someone to come and be like this shining representation of Christ in their life, and that doesn't sound problematic, but it's almost like girls are set up to romanticize that.
I agree 100%, and I've read both of those books, and I'm a fan of both of those writers, and actually, my best friend has been out to one of their workshops, and she just loved it and loved them, and I support what they're doing. However, for an immature reader, an immature Christian who's confused by worldliness, those are heavy, heavy, heavy concepts.
Right.
You have to be totally sold out 100% to the Lord for that really truly to work in your life, or else you're going to get such spiritual warfare and the exercise of those notions. It's a very confusing world these days.
Right, right.
And basically, what you have to overcome to be able to live that larger romantic wild ride with God, which I love how he talks about, John talks about, you know, how we're to go on this vast love story with mm-hmm. the Lord, you know.
Yeah, adventurous.
I love that. Yeah. But if we do not overcome fear and our woundedness first,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to be shot down just like, you know, babies on the battlefield.
Right. Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah,
right.
I was going to say that it seems to me like we're – the problem is trying to pull identity and worth out of a partner rather than out of God.
Amen. Right, right. Amen. And right. it takes a very strong, right. well-developed, fully integrated person –
mm-hmm.
who knows who they are in Christ,
mm-hmm.
not to do that, because it is so – you have to understand this within context. We wake up every single day of our life as men and women. We turn on the radio. We turn on the television. We open the magazines, and we are bombarded with both subtle and overt messages that if we're not in love and we don't have a lot of money and we don't have a very active sex life and someone doesn't adore us, then we have failed.
Right. Well, good stuff. Well, listen, we're going to have Deborah on again next time, and we're going to talk about her book, Stupid About Men, 10 Rules for Getting Romance Right. And we're even going to go and talk about how narcissism can be a problem in relationships and marriages and being so desperate for love that we sometimes sell ourselves out, and how to deal with that. And so, Deborah, thank you so much for being with us today.
Great. I've enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And, hey, one thing you'll enjoy is if you come to our retreat. Look, we're going to have a retreat May 1st through the 3rd. Taff and I will both be there. It's out in lovely Estes Park, Colorado, one of the most beautiful places,
one of my favorite places
in the world. You won't believe it. So if you want to come to the retreat, go to our website. It's healingforthesoul.org. Hit the services tab and the retreat page. Even our lovely and talented producer, Mike De Herrera, and his good buddy, our chaplain, Ben Yoder, will be playing worship at the retreat. So you got to be there. Look, this is Jason Graves along with Taff Winnick. Thank you for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program, or to make a donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening, and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace.